Thank you.
Thank you. I'd love you to open your Bibles up to Psalm 121, and also at home, get those Bibles open and follow along as I go. I really appreciated Elaine's prayer, where she talked about our New Year's resolutions tying into looking to help from the Lord, and that's kind of what our psalm's about. So I think that's why Trent got me to preach on it. So yeah, before I get into that though, I'm gonna pray for us. Dear God, please focus our minds and hearts on you this morning as we open up your word. Reveal yourself to us through your spirit and challenge us to reconsider our lives in light of who you are. Amen. Okay. Back in Sydney, I have a friend named Daniel. Daniel's pretty smart. He's doing his PhD in some sort of chemistry. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a doctor, whether that be a doctor of medicine or a doctor of chemistry, I'll trust you with just about anything medical. So, if I broke a bone or I thought I tore something, I would talk to Daniel, get him to give me the quick look over. And if Daniel said that I was all right, then I was all right. Now, the other day, Daniel broke his toe playing football. And despite being told to take 6 weeks off, 2 weeks later, I went for a skate, and lo and behold, Daniel's there skating with me. Now, at this point, I questioned the faith that I put in Daniel for my medical help. I probably should have questioned it a bit earlier. Daniel's always thrown a ball funny. And when I asked him, "Hey, Daniel, why do you throw like this?" Because I just thought it looked cool. He said, "Oh, I've got a problem with my shoulder. I can't rotate my arm. The doctor said I need surgery, but I don't want to miss a season of sport." Who do you look to for help? That's the question that Psalm 121 asks and answers. Look at verse 1 with me. Here's the question. "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" The psalmist places us at the foot of a mountain. Looking up, we see the journey ahead. And the psalmist doesn't have Lennox Headland in mind. He's got some sort of Everest going. We gaze from the foot of the mountain across slippery paths winding ahead. We feel the blazing sun smoke in our backs. And as we stand, daunted by the potential harm that we might face ahead, we ask, who is going to help us up this mountain? The answer to the question comes in verse 2. Have a look. "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Our help comes from the Lord. The reason my friend Daniel was a bad choice of medical help is because he's completely unqualified to give it. To give help, someone has to hold the qualifications. Why can God help us up the mountain of Psalm 121? Because he made that mountain. Look at verse 2. He's the creator of heaven and earth. As we stand at the foot of 2022, and as we look ahead at the rest of our lives and the dangers that might come, the regular stresses of work and family, or the dangers of COVID and the unknown, Psalm 121 encourages us to look to God, to look to the author of life for our help. The psalmist will tell us that our Lord, our creator, is our helper because he watches over us always, he watches over us closely, and because he watches over us forever. The first reason that God is a good helper is because he watches over us always. Look at verse 3. "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." As we climb the mountain, treading slippery paths, we know that God has our back because he never sleeps. And verse 4 intensifies this. It says, "Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God's not daydreaming. He's not having a nap. He's watching over us always. Now, in my family, I'm the youngest of three. So when I got my L's, my parents were pretty overdoing the whole 120 hours of driving thing. Instead, they got my granddad to take me driving for a week. Now, I was still relatively new to driving at this point, but granddad had full confidence in me. So much confidence, in fact, that after retelling the same three or four stories at the beginning of each trip, he'd chuck on the ABC and sleep. At one point, I was driving across the Sydney Harbour Bridge, Google Maps in my lap, trying to navigate which one of the 18 lanes I needed to be in to get on the road towards Canberra. And we were almost in Newcastle, I think, by the time Granddad came to. Sorry. Granddad was good at helping me learn to drive. We did 30 hours together, but he wasn't perfect. He definitely relied on his midday snooze. As we think about who or what we look to for help when climbing the mountain of life, you might notice that there is no one and nothing that we can always rely on. Our closest friends will need to sleep at some point. Our doctors will eventually need a holiday. And 000 is great until your phone runs out of battery. But God is always watching. It's tempting to think that God isn't paying attention, that the creator of heaven and earth would have better things to do than watch us. But the psalmist tells us otherwise. God watches you when you sleep. He watches you when you're awake. He watches you when you're driving 2 hours in the wrong direction towards Newcastle. The first reason that God is a good helper is because he's always watching. The second reason why God is a good helper, our Creator watches us closely. Look at verse 5. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. As we're climbing this mountain, in the heat of the day, getting smoked by the sun, God is next to us at our right hand, providing shade. He's shading us so that, verse 6, the sun will not harm us by day, nor the moon by night. For God to help us while we climb, keeping us safe from the midday sun and protected from the creatures of the night, he needs to be close by. Personally, when I think of the creator of heaven and earth, I often assume that he would be far away, detached from his creation, or that if he was anywhere, he'd be dwelling in the perfect heavens instead of our broken earth. But again, the psalmist tells us the opposite. God is near. He is, verse 5, holding our hand, providing shade. There is no one else who is always by our side. There's no other help that we can be certain won't one day be taken away from us. But God is always close by. The second reason why God is a good helper is because he watches over us closely. The third reason is that God watches over us forever. Look at verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. Our entire lives are in God's hands. God will keep us from anything that might be coming to harm us in our future. And this doesn't stop when we die. Look at verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Not only will God watch over our whole life, he'll watch over it and keep it from harm forever. When growing up, I used to think that my old man was a handy guy to have around. There are three reasons for this. Firstly, he always knew shortcuts through back streets. Secondly, he had an iPod filled with hundreds of albums. And finally, he was pretty good at doing some quick maths in his head. Unfortunately, for my dad at least, technology has rendered his usefulness pretty much obsolete. For maths, my phone's got a calculator. For albums, I've got every album ever on Spotify. And as for shortcuts, they've been undermined by the fact that every time Dad says, oh, check out this local knowledge, and skirts onto a back street, Google Maps adjusts its ETA to be 5 or 10 minutes slower. Dad was good help for a season, but his help didn't last forever. No help does. Some might last a long time, like my dentist, who I've seen for ages, or my parents, who are still helping me out. But their help will one day pass. Maybe in life, but for sure in death. No one can help us beyond the grave. No one, that is, but God. God's help is eternal. Verse 7, his help is forevermore. The third reason why God is a good helper is because he'll keep you from harm forever. Now, the Psalms are written for us to pray. They readjust our messed up thoughts and feelings so that we can rightly express them towards God. Keeping this in mind, let's look back over what we've been praying in Psalm 121. As we do this, notice how the psalm is structured. Verse 1 asks, where are we going to find help? And verse 2 answers, from the Lord. From there, every two verses makes a different point. In verses 3 and 4, we pray that God watches always. In verses 5 and 6, that God watches closely. And in 7 and 8, that God watches forever. Because God watches always, verse 3, he won't let our foot slip. Because God watches closely, verse 5, he won't let us be burnt by the scorching sun. And because God watches forever, verse 7, he won't let any harm come upon us. Now, I don't know about you, but I struggle to believe this at times. As I've climbed the mountain of life, I've slipped up daily. I try hard not to, but I've told convenient white lies. I've gossiped with my friends. I've been selfish with my money. As I've climbed, I've been burnt. I've had bad days. I've been burnt by people close to me. I've been burnt by bad experiences. As I climb the mountain of life, I don't feel protected from all harm. I've seen people around me die, and I know full well that one day I'll join them. How can we pray Psalm 121 with conviction? How can we, a group of climbers who are slipping, burnt, and harmed, trust in the helper of Psalm 121? Jesus tells a story about a son who requests his inheritance from his dad before he's even died. He then spends all of his money, the inheritance, partying with his friends, and ends up working on a farm, eyeing off the pig's food for a feed. He realizes he needs help, so he decides to go home. He hopes his dad will show him mercy and let him return as a servant. Seeing his son in the distance, the father runs out to greet him and hugs his son. He holds in his arms one who had severely slipped up, asking his father's inheritance while he was still alive. He holds someone who had been burnt by his friends, wanting him only for his money. He holds one who was so surrounded by harm that he'd contemplated eating pig food. Holding the slipped up, burnt, harmed son The Father helps him all the same. He helps him back into a relationship with him and throws him a party. The Bible teaches that we're like that son who took his dad's money. That we all need help. That we've all slipped up and been burnt and harmed climbing the mountain of life. The Bible teaches that we've all sinned, that all of us have done the wrong thing. And this sin means that we're enemies with God. It means that we face eternal judgment and death. Who's going to help you with your sin? Who's going to help you back into a relationship with God? That's the question that Psalm 121 answers. Our only helper is Jesus. Jesus who climbed the mountain perfectly. Jesus who came to help us with the problem of sin, and help us get right with God. Because we can't help ourselves. Jesus can help us because no slip up, no burning sun, no harm kept Jesus from climbing this mountain. Our Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, credits us with Jesus' efforts. Jesus is our only help. We come to him as slip ups, and our helper embraces us as sons and daughters. When we pray Psalm 121, we look to Jesus as our helper because he guarantees our relationship with God. We pray confident that our helper Jesus watches over our lives always. His help is close by in spirit, and his help lasts forever. To finish, let's think about how we can pray Psalm 121 standing at the foot of 2022. How can we respond to the assurance of Jesus' help? I've got two suggestions. The first is this. If Jesus isn't your help, reassess your priorities. If Jesus isn't your help, reassess your priorities. When I think of the dangers that I face in 2022, I think of COVID and getting sick. I think of my bank balance and struggling financially. I think of uncertainties and not knowing where my life is headed. But these aren't the biggest dangers that we face. The biggest danger is falling out of relationship with God. Where will my help come from? If I prioritize the dangers of financial security or staying healthy, if I spend 2022 prioritizing money or stability, and I neglect my relationship with God, then I risk finding myself helpless in the face of eternal danger, a danger from which our only help is Jesus. Our Creator. If you've been prioritizing your relationship with God this past year, pray Psalm 121, encouraged to continue doing so in 2022. If you've been neglecting it, pray Psalm 121 in the assurance that Jesus helps us even when we follow him imperfectly. If you've never looked to Jesus to help you into a relationship with God, know that Jesus invites you to pray Psalm 121. Know that Jesus invites all who say sorry for their sin and believe in him to be helped into a relationship with God and to have eternal life with him, a life that is watched over always, closely, and forever. The second response to Jesus being our help is this. Look to Jesus to help you with your struggle against sin. You see, part of entering a relationship is change. And part of Jesus promising us a relationship with God is Jesus promising that we'll be changed into his likeness. Jesus says in Matthew that if we ask, we'll receive. If we ask God to help take away our sin, he will help us. When it comes to sin, I've regularly just done the try harder tactic. I've tried to stop lying, to be less proud, to be less selfish, but just trying to be a better person. What I forget to do is pray. Tackle sin with Jesus as your help always. Tackle sin by praying to the Spirit who is close at hand. Let's pick one or two areas of our lives where we're struggling with sin and enter 2022 by praying over them regularly. Pray confident that Jesus, through his Spirit, will help you. Pray Psalm 121, knowing that Jesus will be your helper always, that Jesus will be helping you closely, and that Jesus will help you forever. Where does our help come from? It comes from our loving Father, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Dear God, we lift our eyes to you, to the heights of your goodness, to the peaks of your righteousness. Standing down here, we see how far short we fall of you, how helpless we are, dead in our sin, and how much we need a helper to take even a single step towards you. Thank you for Jesus, our only help. Thank you that Jesus promises to bring us back into a friendship with you. Thank you that Jesus promises to hold our hand as we climb, changing us through your Spirit into his likeness. Help us to trust in your help alone. Amen.